This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet for the Mile High Podcast. We're grateful to have you listening and enjoying today. We're grateful to introduce our guest. Before we do so, make sure if you do not already have it dialed into your calendar for 2020 to join us at Mile High 2020, August 20th to 23rd. We are raising up the chiropractic vibration in the world, and we want to have you be part of it. Today, I am so grateful to have as a guest on this podcast, Dr. Jeremy Hess. I am a true fan of Dr. Hess, and also he and his wife, Amanda, were the first, in the first round of presenters at Mile High. So it's great to have them back on the Mile High Podcast. They've given so much to chiropractic, to the world through Sherman College, through Life University, and through AMPT, and certainly through their practice, which is, I know, their first child other than their children is their practice. So welcome to the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Jeremy.
Thanks, Dr. Danny. Yeah, reporting here from Atlanta, Georgia, elevation, I think we're about 750 feet here. It's a little high, so oxygen needed only because of pollution.
Yes. Well, there's Stone Mountain out there, right? That gets a little bit higher altitude.
Yep. Gets a little up there. So, when we go hiking in the North Georgia mountains, some of the car, I know Wall, Dr. Dan Wallace out there, Fort Collins, and Michael Viscarelli and Golden. They're always like, we'll post a picture of the North Georgia mountains. Like, what are you guys at 3,000 feet or something? Come on.
Yeah.
No, I think it's 4,500. They're like, that still doesn't matter. Actually, you're right. I wanted to just say that a lot of wonderful things have happened in chiropractic. God has really blessed us. Hold on 1 second. My dog is out here. 1 second.
It's okay. No worries, we have editing.
Hopefully she'll stop. 1 second. That's what happens when you have your my car detailer is here. Getting all my cars detailed this morning and my dog is guarding the house. So, but anyway, I want to say she's such a good dog though. I love her to death. She's like, Amanda always actually makes fun of me. She follows me wherever I go. And she's my second love. But I wanted to say that about the first love, that's so important. You know, we've done a lot of things in chiropractic. You know, you and I talked about this in the past. I've talked about it with other people that you know. And there's all kinds of side hustles that people have or want to do. And I think that's great. I think it's wonderful to do that. But the truth is that it's an epidemic in, I believe, today. It's not just chiropractic, it's an epidemic, I think, of our culture, simply because of social media, simply because of all the things that are out there. It's so easy to be like lured into, it's like you could be on Instagram for a minute, you could be lured into some new opportunity.
Right.
Facebook, you could be lured into like all these different shiny things that might be better than what we're doing, or you might think. It's just this allure. And I know that it's funny, I go to all these, you go to the conferences and everybody's like, hey, don't compare so much because comparison is the robber of joy, which is totally true. Yet so many of us get caught up, even though we hear that all the time, it's like this constant thing where we're comparing and everything. And that's okay. It's good to be competitive and to compare on some level. But I have to say that I wanted to be really clear, and I try to teach this. This is a struggle for myself. And I know it's a struggle for everybody, is that like the work that we do in our practices, like that's important, right? And that's, and that like the one I mean, you've never heard of Pastor Craig Rochelle. He has some great teachings on this, but he talks about that the work is the reward. Like what if what we do is actually the most important thing that we should be doing, and we shouldn't continue to focus like there's something better, like this happens to be better. Like, well, there's something around the corner. Like maybe if I did that, I'd be happier. And, you know, because we all, you know, as you develop some wealth, you start to realize that the money in the bank account is never enough. Right. As you, you know, start to develop some influence, it potentially could never be enough influence. Mm-hmm. And so my one of the things I want to talk about today, or I'll just say, and we can talk wherever it goes. I just want to finish this thought is that like the prize, like what we do on a daily basis of serving people and adjusting people and hearing people give us feedback about testimonies and chiropractic and the work that we do, like that's rewarding, right? And we need to be grateful for that. And that's the joy, right? So right. It's always looking out and thinking, well, you know, if I did this, I'd make lower money.
Right.
And if this would be better if this happened, and maybe like I'd be so much happier like outside of chiropractic.
Right. Right. I tell you, myself and Rochelle have the same thought so frequently. We do a lot of things in chiropractic other than our practice. And our practice is the most important thing. Right. And often we say to ourselves when we look around, doesn't anybody want to actually practice? You know, when I look at chiropractic, like we did this to change lives in this particular way. And that's what's the most important for, as I see it, you know, and why we are in our office. I mean, we get help in our office now because we contribute to chiropractic in other ways, like this podcast and Mile High and you do through AMP. However, that time of in your practice, taking care of people is really special.
Yeah.
You know, and
I agree, man. And I miss, you know, because now I don't have as much time in the practice, and there's nothing more fun than actually just adjusting people. Even yesterday, adjusting people, and what's today's Wednesday. So yesterday afternoon, I had some great feedback from practice members. And just like listening to that and I guess being present to the fact that people are saying really special things about chiropractic, about the healing, and that, yeah, it may have been a digestive problem or migraine to them. And it was a big, you know, it's just like BJ's thing, like, right? Small problem, big problem, right? It's like the slippery, now I'm going to get down my bad paraphrasing BJ Palmer, right? You know, the slip on a sidewalk, right? It's a small thing, right?
Right, right.
It's a huge thing to those people or that person that's in front of us. And I guess it's just so tempting nowadays to, and we can get off this topic. I don't want to beat it.
No, much. No, it's true. It's very important.
We see it in young practices. I see it in my practice. Like, I don't want to like, oh, and I really don't like the term, like, Dan, I know that you're not a millennial, neither am I. I don't believe you are. I believe we're about the same age.
No, we're the same.
I don't even like people in my age group being like, oh, it's millennials, right? Because our parents, whatever, I don't even know where are we, Gen X? Our parents did the same things about us. Oh, you know, they don't want to work anymore. They don't want this. They don't want that, right? And I really do believe that people do want to work. I do believe that people want to have purpose. I believe that everybody has that place in their soul, in their heart, in their being, call it where you want, where there's like this hole, right? And we're always trying to fill it. And, you know, I'm a Christian, so I believe that it's filled with Jesus and the Lord. But I also know that service, like serving and working and doing something on purpose is like, that's a big part of that hole. So,
right.
I mean, and so it's just that framework of knowing that it's like people are like, they're 12 months in, they're 24 months in, they're 5 years in practice. It's like, they're hanging it up because it's no longer gratifying to them just serving people. And nowhere, I mean, I don't know. It's all, and then it's like, man, you can't make money doing chiropractic. I mean, we made more money, and I know you guys have too. It's like more than we've ever thought we could. So that's confusing to me. I'm like, doing it right. There's plenty of profit margin too. So
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And now something sparked that fire within you and what, you know, in terms of being a chiropractor and opening a practice, and then that grew into AMPT, which I'm a fan of AMPT. With that, what was the initial spark for you for being a chiropractor?
The initial spark was Well, I had this lightning bolt come out of heaven, Danny. And, I remember this chiropractor I used to train with. He had a shot that had lightning bolts on the sleeves. And I mean, this is like Sherman College stuff. You know, maybe Reggie Gold probably had lightning bolts in the sleeves. Right. No, I'd like to say it's lightning bolt. It's just a sequence of events. It definitely wasn't by coincidence. I believe it was God designed. And I had some recurring hip injuries. I had torticollis when I was 16, torticollis. And I look back now, I was like, man, I had a really bad case of torticollis when I was 16 years old and 18 years old, and then a hip injury. And I actually, in college, undergrad, I was off to be a veterinarian, wanted to be a veterinarian. And I realized how hard it was to get into vet school. I don't know, I'm sure it's still the case. Very, vets are like chiropractors want to be. Like chiropractors, if they could get their way, be like very, inclusive, I think is the word. Like you have to have like a 3.8 to get the vet school. And I guess they keep a smaller number of veterinarians. So it, I don't know, you know, that whole theory, less doctors, there's not enough to go around kind of thing. So I was off to vet school and I realized I couldn't get the grades and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I had a really bad hip injury playing soccer in college. And I went to this chiropractor, maybe 15, 20 minutes from the college. And long story short is the chiro there, it was like two DCs. And I saw the one DC that was like the new guy. And he had graduated from Life University like a year and a half before. And when I started to get adjusted, I guess I forget now, but I guess I'd asked enough of the right questions about chiropractic, like, hey, what's it all about? He was like, hey, let's go out to lunch and let's talk about chiropractic. So this young chiropractor actually at the time, you know, that's 20, 25 years ago or so, took me out to lunch and just told me all about chiropractic. And like that, at that moment, I was like, oh, I'm going to life. You know, he was a life grad. So that's what ended up happening, went to life. And that's kind of the rest of the story. So, you know. Schools like Life and Sherman and those kind of schools, just so much chiropractic spiz there. So just got hooked, man.
You know, and an interesting thing is I know in your history, cause I know you a little bit, that you were, a soccer player and routine game and, you know, prescribed pain medications, right. And muscle relaxers. You may or may not know this. Some of the things we've had go on in Colorado with medications and the movement to expand scope and such. And I think about that, and you are not the only one. There's lots of people that became chiropractors because adjustments turned their life and health around. But one of the people in the state had said to me, just to my face, well, you know, we have to get the right of prescribing muscle relaxers, because that's the future of chiropractic, is being able to prescribe muscle relaxers, right? And I was so anger, you know, because there's no future in that. But you think about something like
you're gonna need a muscle relaxer after I get done with you. some bucketing too.
Yeah, right? And you think about something like, and you're being very muscle relaxer, and there's an adjustment that, you know, that made things better for you. And like you go backwards, telling chiropractors, well, just give muscle relaxers instead of adjustments.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is yeah. I don't know the research. Probably like a lot of people listening to this or maybe like, you know, Danny, but I mean, I don't know. I think the research that I know about chiropractic and that kind of pain relief is that chiropractic works so much better than other things at just general pain relief. And, you know, so these same chiropractors are screaming for, probably some of them are like, more research, more research, more research. Yet the research is contradicting, like it says that we're better for those type of pain things, yet they want to use the pain things. It's just, it's a mess, man. It's a hot mess. Right. And the truth is that, my truth is that if they would simply just keep chiropractic simple, like it is, and follow its foundational roots of the principles of chiropractic, and combining that with correct business systems and correct know-how, which is very accessible now in chiropractic. There's lots of great people teaching that, those things, along with AMP, but there's other groups too that are very solid. If they would just tap into that, man, and we see it all the time. It's like, I don't get it either. It's confusing to me, but we know that it's not confusing the principles, so we can just tap into that, make it simple, keep it simple.
Right.
With it, that's the key.
Right, and now that being said, you've now not only practiced, but worked closely mentoring lots of doctors. What are some of the characteristics that you've seen in the most successful practices, actually not even practices, just most successful practitioners. What what do you see as some of the characteristics of those people that are impactful in their practice?
Yeah, I think the biggest things are consistency, right? Work ethic, right? And, and a big thing is like, you know, it's very easy to be like, check me out. Look, I'm working hard over here. Boom, look at the, you know, like all this kind of stuff. It's easy to work hard and do awesome things when everybody's watching. But when no one's watching, right? When it's dirty, it's sweaty, it's hard work, it's a grind. Like, right. How are you then? How are you in those moments? I mean, Martin Luther King has the quote that I'll mess up paraphrasing, but it's something like, hey, listen, like how your character is in the times of the storm, like that's really how you are. Not like right. When everything's just cruising along peacefully, right? So it's like, how are you when the storm hits? Right. How is your discipline? How is your character? How is your work ethic? How is your get up and move forward and grind? And in that process, try to find joy in it and see the good things, right? It's so easy to, so that's the thing, you know, with young docs, but I'm not going to, you know, again, this generation, they don't want to work. Well, I believe there's lots of young gals and guys that want to work. They just need to know how, but I also know that no one ever hung out with me or no one that we ever mentored said that it was going to be easy, right? That'd be foolish.
Right.
It's hard work. It's dirty work. It's sweaty work. Working with people is challenging. It's very easy to focus on the one person that's difficult versus the 99 that are just amazing feedback, five-star ratings, all those kind of things. So our focus is important. And just really consistently how long someone can stay in the fight, right? It's kind of like, you know, it's gonna, you know, and I only can speak to that because there's been many a times when I've been like, man, you know, like in my own head, it's like, man, I think I just want to like quit chiropractic. Like maybe it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, it's been such a hard week or hard day, or this team stuff, or just like the money, you know, all these different things. But the perseverance, and you've heard it said many times, many great leaders and people from, you know, Gary Vee to Anthony Robbins to Maxwell, they all say perseverance is really one of the great qualities, if not the greatest quality of people continuing on. So just perseverance through the storms and just finding victory through it all.
Yeah. And I think that's something that is, you know, certainly it's true in chiropractic. Sometimes chiropractors think that only happens to them, but it happens in everything in life. I think it's chiropractic's the only place that has problems, right? And running a business. But I feel, and I'd like to hear your take on this, that practice in business is really the ultimate growth crucible, right? Because the things that practice and the patience and this team bring to you are your opportunities to grow into the person that you can become. And you'll either get stuck at them or you'll move up, you'll grow through them into the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. So using those challenges, you know, as we age, we mature, and just knowing things like quick to listen, right? Slow to speak, and just being encouraging and affirmations and all the things that we help with our team members, our practice members, and including ourselves. I think that you're right. Those experiences help mold you and actually help you become a better chiropractor because right. you have a combination of empathy for people, but also a loving discipline for them to stick to care plans and just that person. That's the great thing about, you know, someone's like, oh man, you know, it's like, I hear all these people like thinking about retirement, you know? I'm like, you guys like 4 years in practice. I don't know. I mean, you think about retirement already? You know, I mean, I'm all about like putting money away and stuff, but it's like all this, you know, what does it look like? I mean, I don't know, guys, what does it look like? It looks like a lot of hard work ahead of you. That's what it looks like, right? And but satisfying work. Like the work is hard, but it's satisfying, right?
Right.
So I wanted to say that what it looks like is it's more fun to be a chiropractor the longer you're in it. That's what I was telling somebody. It was like, man, you know, it's like they're whatever, 7-8 years in. I'm like, yeah, but you're kind of at the turning point, right? I mean, it's hard to start any business. Like you said, it's not just chiropractic, man. It's hard to start a business.
Period.
I think the statistics are even higher than they were used to be. I think, you know, it used to be like whatever, 80% of businesses fail within the first whatever 1 to 3 years. I forget what the exact statistic is, but we know that a good 2/3 of businesses are out within like 18 to 24 months. So yeah, it's hard to start a business. Chiropractic, plumbing, HVAC, restaurant, all of the above. But the cool part is if you're consistent, right? You stay disciplined, you become a master at your craft, or, you know, master in the sense of like you're doing everything you can on a daily basis to be better than you were yesterday. You're only, you know, you're comparing yourself to the best version of yourself, right? And that's kind of the things that I've been studying is like flow. Like there's this, like this normal version of myself. Then there's like the worst version of myself, right? I had one of those a couple weeks ago and my kids did something stupid. And I still remember it's like probably the worst time, the thing that happened the last 2 or 3 years, my kids, like I like yelled at my son. Like just, my wife was like, you know, I was in this rage, this whole thing. I was actually on the phone with a cable, like, you know, the cable company, and like they were canceling. Anyway, so I was in this funny thing. So, but that was like the worst version of myself. I don't tell a story. Worst version. Then there's this like normal version of yourself, but then there's the better version of yourself. And so I like to say, hey, don't like, man, I really want to be like that dude. I really want to be like, it's good to have mentors and to see things in them that you want to emulate. But the most important thing is to compare today, like with my yesterday and how I'll be tomorrow.
Right.
Compare yourself with the best version of yourself. It's like, okay, I did pretty good yesterday. There's some things I can improve on. Just continually improving by whatever you can each day, each season of your life. And what you find, like I've found, is that at 20 years in practice, it's more fun and easier. And it's more fun. That's the thing. It's like, I'm giving hope to those people that maybe they have some challenges. It doesn't mean there's not challenges. But let's face it, there's a little more financial margin right now. So that's kind of nice. There's a little more time margin in some areas. And you're just good at your craft, right? Like when practice members come in, when I was in practice 3, 5, 7, 8 years, like I was like, okay, I need to tell them that I found the cause of the problem, that I'm absolutely definite that this will correct it. And I felt confident in that, but the level of confidence I feel now, like, and also I'm not attached to it like I used to be. Right. Like, I'm very confident, and also I'm not attached to healing because I know that if we work chiropractic works. You know, chiropractic's never the problem.
Right. Absolutely. And I had the same experience as you because we graduated similar time, similar number of years in practice. And there's this place that's so, well, you just know what you know that you know. And that comes across when you're doing your doctor's report. And it comes across when you're around the tables. And it's a place where then you have this different level of freedom and joy in practice because you just know.
Yeah, I love it. So encouraging words for those that feel like they're really still in the struggle. And hey, listen, there's still struggles. We still have difficult practice members. We still have, we're still managing of teams and you know, of all the budgets and margin, all that kinds of things. But it's just an easier joy, and I love it. So hope to those that are in the process of opening a practice or first few years. But you know, look back and how much fun we had all those years. Right. Just blowing right. Practice
your lives. And you and I share something else that's not.
Other than good looks, Danny?
Other than that. And thankfully we're one up on Viscarelli on that. So
and that beard of his, huh? He tried that damn thing the other day, thank God. Actually, yeah. Now that thing was so long, I was like, I said, either you're like a Greek Orthodox, whatever, or you're like Amish, or you're Greek Orthodox. Which is it? It's like,
yeah, no. I know, right?
Actually, he looks good. He looks good in that thing. I was like, man, just trim it just a tiny bit for me. But he'd be like, he'd
tell me. That being said, we have another area that we share that this is a rarity in chiropractic, but I also think it's very special, which is the husband-wife chiropractic team, right? Yeah. That's a whole nother thing. And we have, you know, what are some of the things and lessons you've learned practicing as a husband and wife team?
So Danny, do you want the truth right now, or do you want me to like
always the truth, whatever you feel comfortable saying?
Oh man, we had a knockdown drag out argument. Not it wasn't knockdown drag out argument yesterday. It wasn't even about the price, it was all personal stuff. You know, this time of year, like all the our schedules colliding. You know, that is, I was like, heck, you didn't tell me about this, told this. Oh, you knew about it anyway. So we had a bit of fun.
We all, it happens.
I know. It's been a joy because in this season of our lives, with the kids a little older, I imagine with you too, we've been a little more running around with the kids. So right. Actually, about 2 years ago, have split a few hours in the practice. We have an associate, so we've been able to split up a little bit for a solid 15 years. we practiced side by side about 14 years, side by side, like every day, every hour.
Right.
And it was fun. It still is fun. It's fun. It's, I miss, and every once in a while I'm in there with her, one shift a week I'm in there with her. So I miss looking across the hall and watching her adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she'll, you know, and even kind of smile at each other as we're you know, coming in or out of adjusting and that kind of thing. That's really special. And, yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing I miss, just seeing her in action and you know, just affirming each other and seeing people really love the family practice,
right.
Whether it's a husband, wife, DC, or whether the spouse is in helping the practice, or honestly, if the spouse is just supporting, that's the biggest thing I see. Another challenge with docs is that even if their spouses, I know lots of very successful chiropractors, their spouses have totally different degrees. They're stay-at-home moms, or they have their own career in a different profession. As long as they're 100% supportive of each other, the practice will be healthy and super, super beneficial. It's when maybe a spouse doesn't totally understand what the chiropractor does, or the chiropractor doesn't understand what the spouse does. It can go both ways too. So I don't want to pin that just one way, but
right.
Yeah, I love it. For those people that are husband, wife, DCs, there's, I believe, because you're one of them too. I believe there's so many advantages and just so much fun that way, but we love it and we enjoy it. So there's been some storms, Danny. Don't let me say there hasn't. But
hey, I would be the, you know, I wouldn't hide our storms either. It's part of it, and part of what actually helps you grow as a couple and actually grow in a business, you know, as well. Is these are all the growth lessons, and you know, it's the same thing where people, you know, will leave marriages very quickly, versus, as one of my mentors told me, John Madeira, said, you know, you're married to the ship, right? And so you know that you're married to the ship, and then you're going to grow through that, versus people decide to jump ship, right? So there's that marriage to the ship is where your opportunity to grow as a person, as a husband, as a father, as, you know, as a wife, as a spouse, right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's not to jump this, but just to mention it, brought it with that point up. And I think marriages and the challenge there is very similar to the challenge of the practice. I just think that it's so easy to, I don't know, again, to go back to that, the perception is that it's very easy to cut the ties, to cut right. the things.
And people do that with practice too.
There's exactly right. And I really believe that as much as I'm on social media, and as much as I check myself and I limit myself, although we do communicate on there, I have my own like reminders and also like trips for myself when I start going over the line of spending too much time, like on my time quotients and time blocking, like when I'm like, wait a second, I need to cut back, and then I'll fast from Netflix, I'll fast from things for a while just to kind of reset myself.
Right.
But because of that, again, there's so much on there that you see that it's just so tempting to think that other people's lives are so amazing, right? And I have to tell you, Danny, that as amazing as my life looks on Instagram, I have to tell you that if I posted every time my kids were fighting and crying and me and my wife argued and my dog, you know, pissed on my couch like two nights ago. She never does that, you know, but she did. And, you know, my wife's yelling at me and, you know, I didn't take her out. All these different things that happen. We all live in these lives that are a struggle at times, right? But that's the beauty of life, is that, you know, it's this ebb and flow of joy and crying. And you know, I heard it say, something I was reading is that, you know, if there was a baby that like never cried or laughed, there would be like a big problem with the baby. It's like abnormal. Right. Right, but what's normal is like you have this laughter, and then you have this crying, and then you have all these in betweens, and it's ebb and flow of life, and that's what makes the practice exciting too. Is you have, you know, so many of these practice members that are just joyous and loving and would do anything for you, and I've always told Michael, and we talked about this years ago. It's like when he first came to practice, and we said, well, we're seeing, you know, let's say you're seeing 500 visits a week, or at that time I think we're seeing around 1,000. I said, we maybe see 1,000 visits a week, but I can tell you there's probably like there's a good 600 visit week base. Like I couldn't beat them away with a stick, right? Like they wouldn't care if I had a license or not. You know what I mean? It's like, there's just a certain part of your practice that just loves what you do, right. And who you are. And I believe that many of them love they love chiropractic, but they actually love the purpose and the mission of what you stand for as much as the adjustments themselves. And that's why being on purpose and understanding your why and really realizing in the practice like that what you do is the reward, like that's the prize, what you do on a daily basis, that daily grind of seeing people and serving people and dealing with the things that come and go, whether they're on the laughing part of the spectrum or the crying part of the spectrum, that's the reward. And when you, the sooner you can love that process, the sooner you'll be happier and have more joy in your practice. And because of that, you'll actually see more growth and more financial margins. You know, it's like, well, like, how are we going to do it? Well, if the why is big enough, the how always takes care of itself. Like, right. Like, how are we going to pay the bills, or how are we going to see if your why is big enough, if you're on purpose and you do it for the right reasons, that the hows always take care of themselves.
Absolutely. Agreed 1,000%. I know that relative to right now, you had a little bit of a time thing to get into next. Would you like to say any last things to our audience, and to especially and particularly, you know, this thing that you launched somewhere, people may have heard of it, Amped. Would you like to say anything about any of that?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, first things first, man, I love Mile High. Danny, did we speak at the first Mile High? Was it Mile High 1 we were at, or Mile High 2?
I'm trying to think about that. It might have been the first, I'm pretty sure.
That's fun. We need to get back out there. So I know Viscarelli and a lot of those guys hold down the fort for us, but I need to make the dates work and make it back out if you have us.
We'd love to have you guys again.
But yeah, this thing called Amped just birthed out of a need and necessity of people asking questions. And that's why we really love the fact that it's a mastermind of people sharing ideas, and it's morphed into something really awesome, really big. So yeah, check it out, ampnow.com. If you guys haven't, I'm sure some of your people know about Amped, but we have a conference coming up. If you go to ampedatlanta.com, ampedatlanta.com, you can check it out there. So
that's coming up. And thank you. I will tell you, I've been to Amped programs, and I've been around your whole tribe, and I really appreciate what you bring to chiropractic. There's a lot of people that would have floundered in practice if they hadn't come in touch with the different AMP leaders, and would not have, there's a lot of subluxations that wouldn't have been addressed if AMP hadn't existed. So, and for that, we are, you know, really big fans and grateful for all you do and give to chiropractic, because certainly you don't have to, you could certainly just practice, but you know that there's a need for people to be able to be mentored and to be able to give more. And so we're grateful that you and your whole tribe do that. So thank you so much. And thank you for being on the podcast. This is going to be one of people's favorites, I'm for sure. Make sure people lock and load August 20th to 23rd for Mile High 2020. So it's easy to remember 2020 vision. We look forward to seeing you on higher ground, and keep changing spines and lives and minds with chiropractic. Thank you, Dr. Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, man. I appreciate you all. You guys do. Love you guys.